Genesis chapter 29. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 29. Good stuff. All right. Now, remember last week we were talking in Genesis chapter 28 about Jacob seeing the ladder, which is known as Jacob's ladder, goes up to heaven. The angels would ascend and then they would descend. And the Lord stood at the top of the ladder and blessed Jacob. So here we are. He talked to Jacob about what was going on. We'll read that a little bit later. But now Jacob gets up and he's ready to go into the land that he was told to go to. And it says in verse 1, it says, so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying in it. For out of the well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would gather there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. Then Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. And he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together, water the sheep, and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to read this story, to reflect on it, Lord God, and to glean from it. Lord, you said that everything was written for our instruction. And so, Lord, I pray that today you would teach us, you would guide us, Lord God, and minister to each one of our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's several things in this passage that are really kind of interesting. I don't know what you would think. I mean, think about this, that last verse, verse 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. I mean, he'd never met this woman before, and she walks up and kisses her. How would that have worked?
She let him.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's just kind of, what's going on here, you know? But this is what was going on then, and that's not going to be on our topic, so I just was thinking that was kind of interesting as I keep reading it. I thought, man, he kissed her, and she let him. You know, and didn't say anything, didn't slap him, didn't do anything. Just said, okay. And it's another thing. Remember when Abraham sent his servant back here to the same place to get a wife for Isaac? They went to a well, and the first lady that came was the right one, was Rebecca. And now Isaac goes back to a well. I don't know if they're the same well or not, but goes back to a well. And the first woman that comes is Rachel. You can take that a couple different ways. Don't be the first one to the well. Or be watching for the first one that comes to the well. However you want to look at it, I don't know. But there's a lot of things we could glean from that. But what I wanted to look at today was Jacob going into this land of Haran. This was not the promised land. This was where they came out of. This is where they came out of to go to the promised land. And before he left to go to the Haran, he had been blessed by Isaac twice and by God himself. And I want to read those blessings to you, because as we talk about this, there's going to be things that we'll refer back to in the blessing. All right, the first one is in Genesis chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. And it says, "Therefore, may God give you the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now, this particular blessing, if you remember, this is the blessing that came when Jacob and Rachel got together and they conned Isaac out of the blessing. Remember? Isaac wanted to bless Esau, the firstborn. And so he sent him on a hunting trip to bring back some venison. Before he could get back, Rebekah found out about it and said, "No, we're going to get that for you, Jacob." So she went and prepared the meal, sent him in, you know, put the goat hair all over him and made him put him in Isaac's clothes or Esau's clothes, so he smelled like Esau. He felt like Esau. He must have been a hairy man. And then Isaac blesses him. As he blesses him, this is the blessing that he gave him. "And nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." This is part of Abraham's blessing. This is part of Abraham's blessing that was back in Genesis chapter 12, and throughout the different blessings, as God would meet with Abraham, he would bless him and add blessings to this that you're, you know, because in the first one he didn't say, you know, that, you know, your descendants will be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, and he just kind of added things to it. It seems like to me. Now I may be wrong. And so then after he steals the blessing from Esau, Esau swears to kill him as soon as Isaac is dead. Rebekah hears about it and says, "Well, we can't have that because we just got him blessed." So she determines to send him back to her brother, Laban, to get a wife from them back there and to stay back there until Esau calms down. Isaac, I don't know if there was a conversation between him and his wife, but Isaac brings Jacob back in and blesses him again. And this is in Genesis chapter 28, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are strangers." Now, God was blessing and speaking over Jacob these blessings. And if you remember, well, we haven't got there yet in our story, but you probably have read the book of Genesis before, and you remember when Jacob comes back to the promised land, he comes with a multitude of people. And so much that he separates them into two companies, and he sends one company ahead and then another company in the back with his wife and his children. And so he's got these companies and herds and flocks and all these people with him, animals. And then before all that, Jacob goes and he's on his journey back to Haran in the beginning. This is right before where we picked up today. And the Lord stands at the top of the ladder and blesses him. And it says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 and 15, or through 15, it says that the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And if you underline, this next phrase is important. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all that I have spoken to you. Now, a lot of what was spoken, a lot of the blessing that was spoken over him was present time. This is going to happen to you now. I mean, a lot of those things took place. A lot of it was also prophetic. That phrase in verse 14, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed, was a prophetic statement for a time in the future when Jesus would come. But these blessings are very interesting. If you were to go back, we're not going to do this. I'm just kind of skipping through a lot of this. But if you take the time to go back and you read through Jacob's journey through Haran and what God did for him and with him in that area and at that time, there are so many blessings that come true in this. I mean, he goes into the land of Haran a bachelor, and he comes out married with 12 children, 11 boys and one girl. Some of you are already thinking, wait a minute, wasn't there 12 boys? Now, the 12th boy didn't come until Genesis chapter 35. That's Benjamin. That's later on. But they come out of Haran and back to the promised land with 12 children. You got 11 boys, and then Diana, which was the daughter that was raped in Shechem, which we'll get to that one later too. But all of this took place in this land. He went in with nothing, and he came out a very wealthy man. He had all of the, well, it says all of the flocks of Laban. In fact, Laban's kids were complaining because Jacob had all of his flocks. And that's a very interesting story, how he got all of that. If you want to look at that, that's quite interesting. So you can go back and look at that if you want, but that's in this next couple chapters, chapter 28, 29, and 30, and all of that going on. So look at that and just see how God blessed him all the way up to where he comes back into the promised land, and God blesses him all the way to where he can be a blessing to his brother, Esau. And so we see that because this is not only God said he's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. He had not yet become the God of Jacob. How many know you got to come to that aha moment at some point? Well, Jacob, let me go back there. I didn't write it down. Jacob, he made a deal with God. Any of you guys ever make deals with God? Oh, I think you're kind of don't want to admit it. But Jacob makes this deal with God. And he says to God in verse 20 of chapter 28, says, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Does that sound like a foxhole prayer or something? You know, you do this for me, God, and then I'll make you my God. Well, see, they didn't know any better. They didn't know any better than to do this. And so that's what they did. You know better. You know better. So he makes this vow. And so later, that's why we have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because he does bring him back because of the blessing. You know, where the blessing goes, the favor goes. And the favor that was upon Jacob was amazing. In fact, God said, in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth. That's a pretty big blessing. All the families of the earth. That's a lot of families. That's you and me. We're part of this earth. We're part of the earth that God has promised this blessing to, that God was going to bless us through Jacob, through Isaac, through Abraham. All these blessings are coming to us through Jacob. Now, let me take you to the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. This is where this connects to us in the New Testament, all right? We've got the Old Testament. We've got the promise in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 28. We've got that. Now we go to the New Testament, and we see where that promise is fulfilled. And it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, and now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Okay? He does not say to and seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. The blessing doesn't come through a natural bloodline. It comes, well, it did from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then through the children of Israel. But then the seed that he's talking to is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, salvation came to all mankind. The blessing of salvation by grace through faith came all the way back in Genesis. It was prophetically spoken about to reach to us here by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That's an interesting chapter. I would encourage you to go back and read through that. It talks about the blessing coming. The blessing is greater than the law. And so that's important to understand that aspect, because the blessing doesn't come. He didn't redeem us to the law, but redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's us. That's where we fit in right there. We fit in right there. We are the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. This is available to any Gentile or non-Jew. This is available to all of us if we receive it by faith. As much as salvation is ours by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, as much as salvation is ours by grace through faith, so are the blessings. They are yours by grace. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it, but you do have to receive it by faith. You do have to receive it by faith. Christ bought us back. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. He has redeemed us. He has purchased us back into his family. Think about that. I mean, if you could just take 10 minutes a day and think about what he just said here in Ephesians chapter 2 or chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood. He has purchased us out from the old owner, sin, the old man, and brought us to a new kingdom. Again, go into the book of Galatians and begin to read about how Christ has, or no, Colossians. He's redeemed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of his dear son. God wants us to understand what he's done for us in his redemption. Now, he told us a story. Jesus told us a story in Luke chapter 15 that gives us the picture of this. Now, most people, when they talk about this, they refer to the son. It's also known as the prodigal son. How many have heard that story? The prodigal son? Okay, my headline here in my Bible says the parable of the lost son. Some of you have heard that. But let's look at it as the parable of the love of the Father. Let's look at the Father and his love for his children. We know the story. This certain man had two sons, and he was a very wealthy man. And his younger son came and said, "Okay, Dad, it's time for me to get my inheritance." And so the father willingly gave it to him. The father never argued. The father gave him his choice and said, "Here you go." And we know the story goes on, and it says that the father went off into a far country and he wasted the money with riotous living and lost all of his money in lots and lots of sin. And finally, he ends up in a pig pen. Now, how many of you know that that's not a good place for a Jewish boy to end up? He ended up in a pig pen. Not a good place to be. And so he ends up there, and all of a sudden, he had that aha moment that you and I were talking about earlier. You guys have all had that aha moment. This is not a good place of where I am right now. My father's servants have more food than I do. They have more clothes than I do. They have a roof over their head. They're not sleeping in the pig pen. He just came to this moment that dawned on him. You know, you ever have that moment where it's just, oh, there's a better way. There's a better way than what we've been doing or what I've been doing. And he decides to go back to his father. And it says that he arose and he came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Okay, at that moment, the father became unclean. You can't do that. You have to wash and go through the purification rites to be clean after you've dealt with things that were unclean. And so at that moment, when the father reached out and touched him, the father became unclean. There's a scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became unclean for us. Just like the father went and kissed his son, our Lord and Savior became unclean for us so that we can become righteous, in right standing with God. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. You know, there's a lot of people that come to God that way today. God, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy to receive the blessing like we're talking about. I'm not worthy to receive the blessing that you have for us. I'm not worthy to be called righteous. I'm not worthy to be called holy. I'm not worthy to be called sanctified. I'm not good enough. I have sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. You don't know what I've done. You see? Until we get over that part and are able to accept the Father's love. You see, that's the interesting thing. He says that to the Father. And then the Father says in verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. You see, it was almost like the Father was ignoring the Son. It's just like, yeah, I know, but you don't have to tell me. I know you've sinned. I know you don't feel worthy, but you're my son. And because you're my son, you are. No matter what you think. And so he gives him a robe. A robe at that time and today is a robe of identity. Don't you know that the world is fighting your identity right now? The world is trying to rob people's identity to get them, even when it's so obvious. And I'm not talking about just in the world. I'm talking about in the church. Because there's verse after verse after verse we can find that give you your identity in Christ. And people fight it all the time. But I'm not worthy. Who said you were? Anybody that knows you knows better than that. Am I right? I mean, am I right? I mean, come on. We know we're not worthy. But that's the awesome thing about this is it's not based on my worthiness. It's because Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. So my identity is no longer in what I do or what I wear or what I smell like or any of that stuff. My identity is with the Father. And the Father says, you're mine. Put a robe on that boy. He's mine. Put a robe on that girl. She's mine. That's our identity, is in Christ. Then he goes on and he says, now give him a ring. The ring was a sign of authority. From that point on, this son could go anywhere in town and use that ring. It was kind of like the MasterCard of the day. Anything he wants, he got. All he had to do was show him the ring. This is my authority right here. Here's the ring. Here's the authority. This says I can do that. And you see, the enemy is not only fighting the world's authority, but he's fighting the church's authority. And there's so many times in church we underestimate the authority that God has given us in Christ. Do you remember the scriptures that say that he's given us the power to bind and to loose? And it says, anything that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So how much is going to be bound on earth and bound in heaven? Only what you say. Only what you say. And then he goes on and he says, anything you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So how much is going to be loosed? Only what you say. Remember the Lord's Prayer? I'm sure you all remember that. Remember? He says, this is how you're supposed to pray. And in that, he says this little phrase, thy will be done. Can you finish it? So whatever I bind on earth or loose on earth is the same thing in heaven. But the factor here is the one with the authority to do that. And that's the kid with the ring. That'd be you. You have the authority to bind and to loose. You have the authority to set people free. Jesus said, I give you authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I give you authority to raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He's given us all this stuff to do. And yet the church, many times we just don't take advantage of it. But that's part of the blessing. Wasn't the blessing, those who curse you will be cursed? Those who bless you will be blessed? It says in Isaiah, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's you and I. This is ours. This is the authority. Freely given to the Son who wasted it all. And then he says, go get some sandals and we're going to put sandals on his feet. The sandals represented the position in the family. The position of a son. So now he has an identification. He has an identity. He has authority. And he has position. That sounds like a pretty good deal. That sounds like a pretty good deal for this wayward son. But see, it didn't happen. It didn't start until he had that aha moment that I need to go back to the Father's house. And you see, there's a lot of people today. They may have had that aha moment, but they never really let the Father, they didn't understand the blessing that he had given them. Because we can go to the older son. Remember, they were celebrating. They had killed the fatted calf, and they were having this big celebration. And the father, the older son, comes in, and he won't go in. So the father goes out to him. All right? The father, again, is demonstrating his love. Goes out to him and says, I'm not going in there. This son wasted everything you had. And he was angry. And so verse 29, and he says to his father, lo, these many years, verse 29 of Luke 15, I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as your son came, as this your son came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. Verse 31 says, and he said to him, son, you are always with me. And listen, all that I have is yours. Is it not right that we should make merry and be glad for your brother who was dead and now is alive? Remember, there's a verse over in Ephesians chapter 2 that says we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. But God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive. Okay, right here. This son that was dead, he's alive again. Isn't this right? This son that was lost is now found, that we celebrate and make merry because of him? You see, this blessing that we're talking about today is on you right now. If you are a child of God, this is your blessing because you are this part of the seed through Christ. Christ is the seed. It's not the seeds as many. And then Galatians says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles. This blessing is for you. By grace, through faith. See, it's given to you just like salvation. But unless by faith you take it, it just sits there. So you can have all the wealth in the world. You can have all the blessings, have all the stuff that God wants to give you sitting there waiting for you. But if we don't reach out by faith and receive it from him, it just sits there. Wouldn't that be a sad story to get to heaven? Because we're all born again, right? We get to heaven, and you begin to see all that God had for you. And you were too stubborn to believe it. Nobody in here is that stubborn, are they? Your silence tells me a different story. I think some of us, no, let me rephrase that. I think we all need to work on that in our life. Because I believe God wants to bless us way more than we could even think or imagine. But we have to reach out and take that. If you want to go back, and as you're reading through the story of Jacob, we know that he worked 7 years for one wife, one daughter, and ended up working 14 years for the daughter that he wanted. And then he worked and worked and worked. And finally, he says, it's time for me to get out of here. This isn't helping me any. And Laban says, what can I name your price? I just need you here because you are blessing me because of the Lord's blessing on you. And that whole story, taking the spotted and the speckled sheep, and how after the deal was made, Jacob prayed. I don't think it says that, but I'm thinking he did because God showed him how to make all the sheep and goats spotted and speckled. So yes, it was given to him, but he had to take it. He had to do something to receive that. And yes, you have received the blessings of Abraham. But you might have to get up and do something, believe it or not. You might have to get up and do something. Not to earn it, but to position yourself in such a way God can give it to you. And so I want to encourage you as you read through the stories in the Old Testament, look for the blessing of Abraham that was upon them. Look for the blessing that was upon them. And then if you are really serious about it, go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you can read the blessings and the curses. And it says in Galatians 3, it says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which you can read that. All of that, that's not something you want to get into, but it's good to be aware of it. But know that the blessings of Abraham have been given to the Gentiles. In Christ. The Gentiles, you and I, who are born again.